I think the biggest compliment you can have is when somebody comes up to you and says, wow, how great your kids are.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's up, everybody? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast and online. I'm very happy to have the one and only, the GOAT, Joe Montana. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Joe. How are you doing, sir?
Pretty good, you know, considering everything that's going on. Still hanging in there and, you know, fighting the fight like everybody else.
Good, man. We're really excited to chat with you, of course, about football and the great work you're doing with Guinness. I want to thank Guinness for setting up some time to chat. But I want to talk to you about fatherhood, man. I know you've probably been doing a lot of interviews today, and this is probably going off of the course a little bit. But I got to ask you, man, I know a lot of my audience really appreciates what you did on the field, and they're going to kind of be excited to hear about fatherhood on from your perspective. So take me back when you found out you're going to be a dad for the first time. What was going through your mind, sir?
It was one of those. The first one was, you know, obviously a lot of excitement, and then as things went on, you start going, oh, can I change a diaper? Are we going to do the right things? Fortunate for me, my wife made it really, really easy. She was a natural at it, and it was easy to learn from. Don't do this, don't do that. This, you can do this, but just do it this way. And so it was a lot of fun. I missed a lot of the early parts, especially the kids and while I was playing, which is I wish I could have back. That's my biggest regret. I think that we have a new granddaughter, 7 months old, and I think is
nice.
Keeps making me look back. Keeps making me look back at the times that I missed while I was at practice or away at games. And you try to do as much as you can while you're home, but I also had a lot of study time to do at home. So hopefully things got better after I retired.
And also, too, I think I know that especially with all the accolades, everything that you've accomplished, not just on the field, but other things that you've done successfully as well, your kids will see hard work, grit, determination, and all that. Talk about some of the other values you and your wife are looking to instill into your kids as they were growing up.
I think the biggest compliment you can have is when somebody comes up to you and says, wow, how great your kids are. There's a lot of times when one of them, they're at least three and usually four of them now, our oldest one was living in L.A. and now has moved back up here. And usually when one of them, they're, as a family, our oldest is 34. And it's amazing that they still want to be around you at that age. And so hopefully we've done the right things. And I always say that really the real molder of them has been Jennifer. I can't take the credit for how they turned out. It's all her fault. And, you know, we get such great accolades of them that she's done a tremendous job.
That's awesome, Joe. And one more question before we get into football and the great work you're doing with Guinness. And I know you said while you were playing, when your kids were young, you were obviously focused on football and all that. New dads, listen to this. What is one big piece of advice you'd offer to them?
Miss as little as you possibly can. So many fun times that we have. And, you know, I look back and envy the times that my wife had with them, you know, while I was working. Yeah, it's just one of those things where it goes so fast. Before you blink, they'll be gone. These are the times that you see, and I look back on photos that we had of the kids at these ages, and, you know, you miss them and fall asleep with them in your arms, lying next to you as they get bigger. And I don't know, it's just do whatever you can to be there as often as you can, is what I would say.
Great piece of advice right there. And of course, I became a fan of yours through my dad, because I was born in 79 in South Bend in Mishawaka. We were maybe a few blocks away from the Notre Dame campus. And my dad started to follow your career when we were living in Indiana. And of course, he and I bonded over watching, rooting on the 49ers, right? And you've won four Super Bowls, MVP awards, so many records. I know it's almost like it's kind of hard to determine if there's one thing that stands out, but I'm going to ask you, is there one moment in your career, a Super Bowl championship, that stands out above the rest just because of what it meant to you at the time that you succeeded and got that goal?
I think probably the biggest thing was coming back from my first back surgery. Just, you know, Jennifer actually kind of kicked me into gear, because I was kind of laying around, moping around, thinking that maybe this is the end of it. And, you know, the doctor gave me the okay to say, hey, you know, if you do the right things, you still have a chance to be able to play. And So it didn't affect me, and finally she started ridiculing me about, oh, you're just lazy. I guess you don't really want to play football anymore because you're done. You're not. I didn't want to go to physical therapy. It just was, you know, it was a down period of time. And finally she got to me and kicked in, and 7 weeks later I played. So
nice.
I think it was probably one of the biggest accomplishments. And then from there we were on to a few message boys. And on to Kansas City. So my career was extended, and thankful to her.
Really appreciate you sharing that. Two more questions about football, and then we'll go into the good stuff you're doing with Guinness. You've played with so many great players, but of course the GOAT at wide receiver, Jerry Rice. With the chemistry you guys developed over the years, now more than ever there's audibles. On the line of scrimmage, when you were kind of reading the defense, did you just have like, just give like a look to Jerry and being like, all right, the look, you know, told him what to do, because you guys kind of changed the play maybe just by one look or like a nod or something along those lines?
No, eventually when the confidence started coming with Jerry, we started building into the offense adjustments for Jerry when he wasn't, and again, we didn't always target him away. We didn't run a lot of mirrored routes, so we would attack areas and attack using different people. And if he was on the backside of one of those, he always had, we started getting what that we call a post-hook read. So there's a safety in the middle of the field. You start to the post and then hook it up. And if the safety leaves the middle of that field, whether he shadows to the left hash mark and here on the right, and you think it's open, go. And they just gave him the green light. And they start doing that with him a lot more often. And while he wasn't the main area we were attacking, he still was always in your mind that if there was a crease and he was going, that meant he could get behind whoever he was there. So you always gave him a look.
Yeah, it was great to watch you guys play, and just, you know, you, Roger Craig, John Taylor, Rathman, Dwight Clark, all those guys, man. I loved watching you play. What do you personally miss about the playing days, sir?
You know, the excitement and fun of being in the stadium and that Sunday afternoon or whatever, Monday night, whatever it might be. And mostly the camaraderie of the locker room, friendships that you've made forever in your life that have lasted and will last a lifetime. And, you know, we still get together with a bunch of the guys, especially the guys that are around here.
Yeah.
And there's probably 8-10 of them. So we see each other a lot. And, you know, lots of godfather of our youngest son. And so it says a lot about what I think of the guys you played with. So I said, he's just like Ron. he's very physical, but he's a character.
We're talking about the good stuff you're doing with Guinness. I love, if people follow you on Twitter and Instagram at Joe Montana, they can see the sweet picture of you holding the glass of Guinness, and of course holding the football with the Notre Dame logo and Guinness emblem on there. Talk a little about what you're doing with Guinness, sir.
Well, I became an ambassador, you know, to the partnership between Guinness and the Notre Dame alumni and the fans, and as they became the official beer. I think it was a better partnership that could have happened when you look at, you know, the traditions of both are very, very strong and very old, but also still to this day, that old is creeped into the new that they're trying to do. And both have, you know, not only a respect for that tradition, you know, their desire to win and be the best at what they're doing, and a commitment to building an even better future for all of us in any way they possibly can help. I just thought that this was a great thing. I fell in love with Guinness while actually the girls and my wife were looking at jumping horses in Ireland. Our trainer talked us into doing it. And one of them said, hey, let's go get a Guinness after they're done doing all this. And it's hot. And I'm okay about that. And every day from that point on, I'm going, Charlie, I think it's time for a Guinness. We're missing that pint. You better hurry up over there. So
nice.
trying to make that happen. And my love of Guinness, and obviously I've loved Notre Dame since I was a little kid and still do to this day. I just thought, well, this would be great to be a part of going forward.
Yeah, no doubt. Guinness did a really good job of selecting you as the spokesperson. And fans in Indiana, New York, Boston, Chicago, check out where you can find the special editions of the Notre Dame 8-packs of Guinness. And we can also put up links on where people can find them. Before I let you go, we're going to do the Fatherhood Quick Five. Just a quick Q&A. Favorite family movie? Do you guys have one?
No, but I'm going to say The Godfather.
Nice. Favorite artist or musician you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
I love all kind of music. It's hard to, you know, one of the closest ones to me is Huey Lewis.
Nice.
So they all know him already, though. So.
Nice. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
You know, we're all over. We're an adventurous, especially with Jennifer. She gets the knack for finding. Recently we've been to the Galapagos, Machu Picchu.
Oh, wow.
We went to New Zealand and on a crazy trip of 17 things in 14 days and on a wild bungee jumping off of cliffs in the water. I mean, crazy stuff we did. Jumped off the Needle the first day we were there. And yeah, it's insane. So, yeah, nice. We're pretty active. So I don't know. I have to think of something that we need to find some new experiences. And but anything that's active and has some things that are, you know, going to put stand your hair on edge a little bit when you go to jump into that canyon. Yeah, we're all for it. So,
nice.
I don't know, maybe the first flight in space.
Nice. You guys should start up your own travel agency. Last two, favorite quarterback to watch right now is who?
Mahomes.
Nice.
This is a different person to watch and exciting.
Yeah. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad.
Three. How about there when I need?
Awesome.
That's four, but.
Hey, I love it. Love it, man. People, make sure you follow Joe on Instagram and Twitter at Joe Montana. Pick up a Guinness draft, limited edition, Notre Dame, Apex, wherever they're sold. And of course, put up links here where you can pick them up. Joe, I know you had a busy day. I really appreciate the time to chat with me and continued success in the future, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.